We are holding, well, we're now in April, actually, based on the days. Based on the days, 8 lines from the bottom. Line begins the drop bottom on the base. All right, so we have like this. The Mishnah had told us that if various cases where Kodshim were shechted improperly, for example, they were shechted in the south side of the Azara, the Kabbalah was done in the south side, they were shechted at night, etc., etc. So we said Mi'ilah still applies to them. Like this, if the Zrika had been done properly and been matir, the meat of them to be eaten by the Kohenim, then it would take away the din of Mi'ilah from them. Because the Zrika wasn't done properly, then therefore Mi'ilah still applies to them. So now that brought us into a discussion. We had Machlokes Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. Suppose you have a korban like that was shechted, for example, kodshim that was shechted in the south. What would happen if pieces of that were put on the mizbeach of it or whatever were put on the mizbeach? Is it one of those cases, im olu yerdu, that you take it down from the mizbeach, or do you say im olu lo yerdu, it shouldn't have gone there in the first place because it was a possible korban, but because it was already put there, then it's lachma shom mizbeach, the food of the mizbeach, and therefore it stays there. So we had Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. Rabba said you would take them off. Rabbi Yosef said you wouldn't. So we said that with it, now you have a machlokes tanoim, you have Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon, what cases im olu yodu and whatnot. Rabbi Shimon says in general, if it's psule bakodesh, then you don't take it off. If it's psule not bakodesh, for example, Reveya or Nirba or Balmum or what have you, actually Balmum maybe is an exception, but whatever. Many of the psulim that happened before it was ever brought to the Azara, before the procedure of bringing it to the korban ever started, then you would take it off the mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says that there's many cases, there's many more psulim where you would take it off him. Although Yerudu, he says there's only a small number of psulim that him olu lo Yerudu. So we said, if you go, that you would take off more of them according to Rabbi Yehuda than according to Rabbi Shimon. No, well, it is. In the Gemara in Tzachim, it learns it from Yav, Zoyz Teres Ha'ola, Hi Ha'ola, Al-Mokha, whatever. Yeah, we have three Tzukim over there, so it teaches us that certain kinds of Tzulim do stand in the Zayach and certain don't. Anyway, so we're saying, according to Rabbi Yehuda, everybody would agree that, for example, Kodshim was shechted in the south, you definitely take them off the Mizbeach, Im Olu Yehudu. The Machlokes is within Rabbi Shimon. So Rabba would say that Rav Shimon would distinguish between, for example, where the blood was put on the wrong part of the Mizbeach, where then we would say, fine, the korban is possible, but still, because the blood got onto the Mizbeach, therefore the Emurim themselves can be considered lachma shel Mizbeach, and you leave it on, as opposed to, for example, where the korban was shechted in the wrong part of the Azara, then we would consider it as if the animal was killed without shechita, and then it wouldn't stay on the Mizbeach. So in that connection, we mentioned something that Ullah says in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Kodshim Shemesu Yotzimide Mi'ilud Var Torah. That if Kodshim die, then Minat Torah, we said not Midrabonim. Midrabonim, the Mi'ilah still applies to them, but Midaraisa, because they died without Shchita, then therefore Mi'ilah no longer applies to them. So we said that Rabba would explain that means exactly that. It means that it's only Daraisa, but not Midrabonim Mi'ilah would apply. And therefore, when our Mishnah is saying that Mi'ilah still applies, it's talking Midrabonim. So the question is, lema tenena lahod ula amar Rabbi Yechanan. In that case, according to Rabba's understanding of Ula, if Ula is saying that midaraisa that midaraisa meila doesn't apply to them, but midrabanan it does, and our Mishnah also said meila applies to them, which according to Rabba has to mean midrabanan. The line begins with midrabanan. Lema tenena. So lema tenena lahod ula amar Rabbi Yechanan. Does that mean then, according to Rabba, we would have to say the Mishnah is actually telling us exactly what Ula is telling us? In other words, then there's no chiddush in what Ula is telling us. Ula doesn't have to tell us what it says explicitly in a Mishnah. So if it says in the Mishnah, according to Rabba's understanding, that when the animal was shechted in the south, it's considered as if it was killed, therefore midaraisa and the ila wouldn't apply to it, only midrabanan it does, then Ula is saying the exact same thing. The answer is no. No, because Rabba would answer, even though we have the Mishnah, nevertheless, we would still need what Ullah says, because otherwise you would think like this. We would say like this. When we're talking about a kodshim that was shechted on the south side of the Azara, people don't naturally know to stay away from them. The fact is they were shechted. Okay, it was possible because they were shechted in the south. But still, they were shechted properly, so therefore people don't think this is something off-limits. So therefore people are likely to use the meat of it and have hanah from it, and therefore the chachamim would find it necessary to make a gzeira, that me'ilah applies. Aval Kodshim Shemesu, but you could argue when Kodshim die without Shchita at all in the Nevela, people naturally stay away from them because nevela, it's anyway miustik, it's anyway disgusting to have anything to do with it. Therefore, people stay away from it. He would think maybe me'ila doesn't apply to them even to Rabbanon. Kamashmua, and that's what Ulo wants to tell us. So our Mishnah would be talking about where they were shechted, but the shechta was possible because it was in the Dorim. Ulo would be talking about where they weren't shechted at all.
What's the connection to me even just when you eat it?
We're talking about kodshe-kodshim. Well, the kodshe-kodshim, the rule is, ne'ilah applies to them from when you makdish the korban until the zrika. Once a kosher zrika is done, then at that point, the meat of it, unless it's an ola, is mutar to the kohenim. Once it has shas heter l'kohenim, then ne'ilah no longer applies. Because that the whole point is, ne'ilah applies when it's called kodshe-hashem. So once the blood is sprinkled, and now the kohenim are allowed to eat the meat, then the meat is no longer called kodshe-hashem. With Kodshim Kalam, it's a different rule, which we're going to learn as we go through the Masechta. Kodshim Kalam, the rule is that Me'ilah doesn't kick in until Zrika. Once the Zrika is done properly, at that point, Me'ilah begins to apply to the Emurim only. So in other words, you could sort of say that at the moment where Me'ilah goes away by Kodshim Kodshim, namely by Zrika, is the moment when it kicks in by Kodshim Kalam for the Emurim. So that would be Ulos Chiddush. Okay, so the question is, Meisu Nami Kanena. What do you mean, though? We have a Mishnah. We have a Mishnah later on in our Masechta that says also that if it died, then Me'ilah doesn't apply to it on a Daraisa level. Hanena min achatas kshichaya. The Mishnah says a person has hana from a chatas, which Rashi says we're talking about specifically a chatas of Baal Mum, and he has hana from it while it's alive. For example, he cuts off some hair from it. Loi moal ad sheyifkoi. It's not considered that he did me'ilah unless he caused a pgam, unless he caused a reduction in the value of the animal. We're going to have the rule later on in the Masechta. We're going to formulate the rule like this: when it comes to kodshim that don't have that aren't kodshim is be'ach. When it comes to kodshim berikabayis, so in this case the kedushas damim, whatever, because the balmum, the rule is me'ilah applies if it's something where pgam is, where it's possible to have a pgam in it. Then, by using it, then a person commits me'ilah only when he was actually poigim in it. If no pgam is possible, then he's moil when he uses a shavu prutah worth of it.
So what's an example?
So an example would be, Rashi gives an example over here. Let's say, for example, a golden cup of hekdesh. So you drink from a golden cup, you're not poigim it. The gold is, doesn't tarnish or whatever. Yeah, so therefore, when is he committing me'ilah? When he uses it to the value of a shavu prutah. So he had hana to the value of a shavu prutah, like this. He didn't have to buy another cup, for example. Then he's moil. As opposed to when it's the kind of use that involves a pagam, then he's moil as soon as he made a pagam in it, even if it's less than a shavu prutah. Now over here, we're talking about an animal over here that only has kedushas damim. So therefore it would have to be that he created a pagam in it. It would have to be that the using it or the cutting of the hair or whatever is something that actually made a pagam in it, that made it worth less. Uchshi meita, and the Mishnah continues there, when the animal dies, kibbin denana, if the animal is dead, then the rule is different. Kibbin denana kolshu, even if he has any amount of me'ilah, more than he committed me'ilah, because at that point, meaning when we say kolshu, meaning a shavu prutah, there's no chisarim, there's no pagam at that point. But again, here pagam is not relevant anymore. Here it's like golden cup, you can't be poigim it anymore by using it, because dead. Therefore, instead you have the shavu prutah rule. Right.
So for that is, because...
If he uses it to the extent of a shavu prutah. So let's say he cuts off a piece of it and feeds it to a dog, Lamarshall, then okay. The point is, so once he'd used an amal, then he committed mila. So the point is, we see over there, therefore, now obviously this has to be talking about only Dirabbanan, because Daraisa is not going to be mila with it once it's dead. So obviously that means Me'ilah applies to an animal after it died. So that's exactly the same thing that you're telling me that Ola is saying. So again, what's the Chiddush? What's the Chiddush in what Ola is saying? Tosfos discusses over here two possible gusos. What the question is the question actually should book about this also is the question. Let's see the answer, and then we'll yeah. The answer is shakad at hamina. Yeah, but we'll think like this. Because if it's dead, if it's not dead, then it's possible to be poigim in it. The difference is, are you talking about something where it's possible to be poigim the value? So, for example, you have a live animal. It's possible to do work with it and weaken it, and now it's worth less than it would have been worth before. Mashenkin, and once the animal is dead, then pagam is not relevant. Then the question is, did you use a shavat rutzah worth or not? Okay, so the answer is sakdat chamina chatas hoyel hapora kahastia. The answer is we would argue like this: a chatas, since it comes for kapara, loy b'delin minel. Therefore, people don't stay as much away from it. People think that maybe they could use it. Abu kodshim, but when it comes to other kodshim, which is what Ullah is talking about, because Ullah is talking about more generally kodshim shemesu, hoyel v'lav v'kapara kahastia. Given that other kinds of kodshim, oyel shlomim, etc., they don't necessarily come for kapara. Bedili min hoin, so you would think people stay away from them, the less behu me'ila, and therefore there's no reason to have me'ila in them, even derabanan, kamash malan, and that's what Ullah wants to tell us that there is. So here there are two different girsos. You notice over here, I'm loy bedilin minay, you have a note over here from Hagar Sabach, he takes out the word loy. So you have a girso over here that says the other way around, that chatos, people do stay away from it. Although kodshim, they wouldn't necessarily, because they don't come for kapara. Rashi seems to have that girso also. So it comes out, according to the two different Gersois, is either the question is that Ullah seems to be contradicted by the Mishnah, or that Ullah is not telling us any chiddush over the Mishnah, depending on what the Gers is. Either way, the answer is that, yes, we still need, it's not contradicting the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is talking specifically about chatos, and Ullah is talking about other korbanos. And therefore, and if you look at it that way, if you look according to the other girsa, then that's the chidush, that the Mishnah is only telling us this din by chatos, and we would think then there's me'ilo dirabanon, but you wouldn't realize that there's me'ilo dirabanon by other kodshim as well, and that's what Ola needs to tell us. So there's no problem so far on Rabbah. He understands Ola to be saying there's no me'ilo dirabanon, but there is dirabanon, but there is a chidush in it over our Mishnah, and also over the Mishnah later on. That the chiddush is that. One way of looking at it is the chiddush is that you would think only by a chatas would there be me'ila d'rabanan. You wouldn't know by other kodshim there would be me'ila d'rabanan because b'dili min ha'in, people stay away from them naturally. B'dili min ha'in means that people know. So anyway, nobody's going to bother. Right, exactly. The Chachamim is only going to make Xera where they feel that people might be nana in it.
It's just also because
it's a thing. Rabbanon, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Okay. So the question is, the Chakas Shemesa mi ispa me'ila? You're telling me then that a Chakas Shemesa, because he said in the Mishnah over there, that if a chatas dies, he said, kivin shenana kol shuhu mal, once he has a kol shuhu, meaning a prutas hana from it, then he committed me'ila, but a chatas hamesa, is there me'ila in it? V'hotnan. We learn, v'hotanya, actually, it's a braisa. Chatois hamesas, we have the five chatois hamesas that it talks about in Tumura, the five cases where an animal has kedushas chatas, but you can't be makrivit. Vlad chatas, Tumuras chatas, where the owner died before he could be makrivit. Yeah, the famous thing, v'timna. The Vlad Chatas, Tmuras Chatas, Mesu Baaleho, the owner died, Niskafru Baaleho, the owner used a different korban for his kapara, because he lost this one, and used a different one, and Avra Shnosa, where it's over a year old, because Chatas has to be an animal under a year old in general. So all those cases, the din is a Chatas and Mesa, we learned about in Tmura, the Zalach Lamesh Mesinai, and then it has to be left to die. We talked about is it all five cases are halachah l'moshe m'sinai? Is it only one of them? Is it four of them? Whatever. The bottom line is all five of them are chatois hamesis. So you lock them up in a room, right? So umois hahochas the yamamelach, and you have a similar case of money that has to be thrown into the yamamelach, which also is involving chatos. For example, you have, let's say, a person set aside money for a chatos. He lost that money. So he took other money and bought an animal and brought his korban, and now the original money turned up. So it's like a chatas hamesa. That money has to be thrown into the yamamelach. So the din with those is loy nen and loy mayalin. So you're not allowed to have hana from them, but me'ila doesn't apply to them. Rashi learns over here that what we mean is that loy nen means there is an isur on it d'rabanan, but there's no me'ila on it even d'rabanan. There's an isur to have enough. I mean, it would be an isur lav or whatever, but it wouldn't be. But the din of ne'ila wouldn't apply to it. Not daraisa, and Rashi says not even drabon. A number of the acronym have a problem with what Rashi is saying. What do you mean that? What do you mean? There are places that in general, when we say loy nen and loy moylan, means on a daraisa level, ne'ila doesn't apply, but drabon still applies. Anyway, the point is, the question is, again, that a chatos amesa, at least on a daraisa level, there's no me'ila in it. So what are we saying before, that if he had hana, then mal?
So you talk about
that's Rashi's learning over here that we're talking even derabon. Right. So the answer is, Amri, they answered, the difference is, chatos amesa, b'chayehem b'dilin minhoin. The difference is, the five chatos amesa, since we all know that they can't be brought as a korban, they're going to have to be left the mitza, therefore people stay away from them, people don't think of having hana from them even while they're alive, and certainly after they're dead. So therefore, we're not worried about that people are going to have hana from it, such that the chachamim should have to make a gzera on it. As opposed to when it was a normal chatos, and as long as it was alive, it could have been brought as a chatos, and now, punct, it died. So then we're concerned that loy b'dilin minei, that people don't necessarily know to stay away from it. People are still going to think that now that it's dead, they're allowed to have hana from it. Because after all, while it was alive, it was meant to be brought as a chatos, and therefore we have to make a zera. So that's what it would be then. So chatos hamesa, if it's one of the five chatos hamesas, then it's true. Me'ila doesn't apply to it, even on a derabanan level, even while it's alive. Because we're saying, because b'dilin minei, because people know that it's completely off limits. People know that it's a chatos hamesa, they know it's completely off limits, as opposed to, it's also about us. So as opposed to a chatos that was meant to be a chatos and then died on its own, then people are not b'dilin minei. People don't realize that it's something off limits.
That's why
we would have to have a gzeira on it, derabanan, and that's what the Mishnah meant before, that kivin shenana kol shumal. So we weren't talking about, when we said hananim in a chatos, we didn't mean that it was one of the chatos hamesis, we meant it was a normal chatos that should have been brought as a chatos, and then it died. So, right. What does one have to do with the other? We're talking. Well, because that's a different matter. Yeah, okay, then, fine. Okay, but so there you talk about whether the Chachamim have to make a Zera, that you can't just be Mavatal it, but here that's not relevant. This is a whole different issue. Okay. Eitzbeir Rabbi Yosef L'Rabba. However, now Rabbi Yosef says, Rabba, I have a contradiction to you. You're saying, again, to go back to the beginning of the Sugya, that these Kobonis, these Kodshim that were shafted on the south side of the Azara, Im Olu Yerdu, even if you put the Emurim of them on the Mizbeach, you have to take them down because they're not Lach Mesha Mizbeach. So Rabbi Yosef says, Dear Rabbi, I have a contradiction to you. In order to get to the contradiction, though, we need Chodem Igoy Chodem Chodem Igoy Chodem. We need one as a result of the second one, and a third one as a result of the first one. In other words, Rabbi Yosef is saying, I'm going to have to bring three Mishnayos from the Sechta Zvachim, and once we bring those three Mishnayos, then we'll understand what the question is on Rabba. Number one, you have a Mishnah in Zvachim that says like this. It starts by talking about the cases where we know that there's chata sa'oif and there's oila sa'oif, and chata sa'oif, the blood of it has to be sprinkled on or squeezed onto the mezeach, whatever, on the bottom half of the mezeach, below the chut, etc., and an oila sa'oif has to be above it. You also have the Mishnah, the Mishnayos and the Gemara describe over there in Zvachim that there's a slightly different procedure for a chata sa'oif versus for an oila sa'oif. The malika itself is done a little bit differently, because by an oila sa'oif, you don't separate the head from the body, and we learned over there one opinion says that means you only cut through one of the simonim, as opposed to by the oila sa'oif, actually you do cut through both of them, by the chata sa'oif you don't, or maybe by both of them you cut through both, but by the oila sa'oif you actually separate the head from the body, and by the chata sa'oif you don't, whatever. And of course there's also the matter of doing it l'shem chatos or l'shem oila. So the Mishnah describes over there a number of different cases where you have, for example, a bird that was supposed to be brought as a chatos oif, and he did the malika and the squeezing and whatever like an oila oif, or vice versa. So you have, for example, let's say he did the malika in the wrong part of the mizbeach, or he did the hazah in the wrong part of the mizbeach, or the wrong way, because an oila, you press it against the wall of the mizbeach, the chatos, you squeeze it from a distance. Anyway, so you can have various cases where you did one or another detail of that wrong. And the Mishnah starts off saying, "V'cholan ein matamim b'godim abeis abliya." All of those cases, though, if a person eats that bird, it would not make him and his clothes tamei when he swallows it. In other words, it's not considered a neveva, even though he did the malika the wrong way or the misui the wrong way or whatever. It's still not considered a neveva. It's considered a proper malika. Therefore, it doesn't make him tamei when he swallows it. umoyolin behen, and ne'ilo would still apply to them, again, because of proper zrika, proper mitzui, whatever, was not done. Therefore, ne'ilo continues to apply to them. Chutz nechatas ha'oif, sha'asol amata, except for the case of a chatas ha'oif, which was done at, on the bottom half of the mizbeach, k'maise chatas ha'oif, and he did it according to the procedure of a chatas ha'oif, l'shem chatas, and he had in mind chatas, meaning, in other words, it was done exactly properly. In that case, once he does the mitzui, fine. Then in that case, the kohenim are allowed to eat it. As usual, the rule is, once the kohenim are allowed to eat it, once it has shas hetter l'kohenim, then me'ilah goes away. And that's the general rule. So that's mission number one. V'katoni ilobe. Now we have a second mission.
What was the expression we started with the...
It means, in other words, Rabbi Yosef is saying, I'm going to have to bring three mishnayos, which are all connected, in order to point out my contradiction to Rabbah. I'm going to have to bring one Mishnah, and from that, we're going to have another Mishnah that follows on that, and another Mishnah that follows on that. And once we put all those three Mishnahs together, then you'll see what the Sira is. So Mishnah number one tells us again that when you have a chatas ha'oif where the Kohen made a mistake in one part of the Avodah, he did the Melika wrong, he did the Mitzui wrong, or whatever, then we said that Ne'ilah still applies. Then we have another Mishnah there that says, Kol shahay psulei b'kodesh, any case where the psul in the bird was psulei b'kodesh, for example, these cases where the malika was done wrong. So yesterday we talked about there's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, there's actually a machlokas between more Rishonim as well, but whatever, what exactly the definition of psulei b'kodesh is. Is it a psul that happens only once it was brought into the Azara and the procedure was started, meaning, in other words, for example, let's say Reveya Venirva would not be Psula Bakodesh because that happens long before it's ever brought to the Azara, as opposed to, for example, here, where the Malika was done wrong. The Malika is done in the Azara. That's Rashi's understanding of Psula Bakodesh. Tosfos' understanding of Psula Bakodesh is that you're talking about something where, in this particular case, it's possible, but in a different case, such a thing, such an action would be kosher. For example, over here, with the various kinds of malika, you have one type of malika that's done for chatas ha'oif, a different kind that's done for oilas ha'oif. You have one is done on the top of the mizbeach, one is done on the bottom, but whichever one would be kosher for the other one. What's possible for a chatas is kosher for an oila, and vice versa, and therefore Tosfos says that's the definition of psul b'kodesh. It's a psul for this particular carbon, for example, a chatas, but instead, if it had been an oila, it would have been perfectly good. Anyway, the point is that the Mishnah says, whenever psul b'kodesh, in a mekamim b'godim ha'beis ha'bliya, then even though the korban is possible, nevertheless, if a person swallows it, he doesn't become tamei from nivlas oisar. V'chol shaloi ha'psul b'kodesh. Whenever the psul was not in the kodesh, for example, that the psul had, for example, Rashi gives examples of a here. Let's say if the bird is too old or too young, you have a totem and b'nei yoyin have a certain period in their life when they're kosher. For example, if it was missing a limb, which are those psulim that happen before it ever comes to the kodesh, and those are psulim that are never kosher with a different korban. So then matamav godim abeis abliyah. So then, even though the kohen did the malika on it, nevertheless, it would still be matameim because the malika is not considered of proper malika, it's considered, the bird is still considered nevela. Right, because it came in already possible, yeah. Or like Tosfos says, because this is a psul that would never be kosher by any carbon, yeah. So that's Mishnah number two. Vikatoni, now we have a third Mishnah that says, Kol shahoyah psul ba kodesh, any time when the psul is in the kodesh, again, based on the second Mishnah, we understand that a mistake during the malika is considered psul ba kodesh. So even though the malika was done in the wrong part of the mizbeach, nevertheless the bird is still considered psula b'kodesh. Therefore, it's not matamu b'godim. And the Mishnah says im olu lo yodu. So if it was brought up to the mizbeach, you don't take it down. So you see that when psula b'kodesh, so that's why we need all these three mishnayos, because we need to clarify that psula b'kodesh means that he did the malika in the wrong part of the mizbeach. He did it on the top half instead of the bottom half or whatever. And we're also saying, and eventually we're saying that kind of thing, Nimolu lo yodu. So by the same logic over here in our Mishnah, when we're talking about a chata, when we're talking about kodshe kodshim, that was shechted in the south half of the Azara, meaning the shechita was done in the wrong place, the same rule should apply, Nimolu lo yodu. Yeah, it's all about kodesh. Tiyukta de Rabba, that's a contradiction on Rabba. Well, says, you're right, Tiyukta, that is indeed a contradiction on Rabba. Now on the face of it, that should mean the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef. But it's not so simple, actually. First of all, the Gemara is going to continue, and we're going to have more discussion about this. But second of all, also, the Gemara had said at the beginning that this whole machlokas is only within Rav Shimon's opinion. Then you have Rav Yehuda's opinion that anyway, you have a narrower set of when you say, Olo lo yodu. Reb Shimon says there's more cases. Reb Shimon is the one who says the general psul of HaKodesh is in all the Yehudim. Reb Yehuda says only certain psulim. So what the actual halacha is, so the Rambam actually paskins a couple of different things over here. On the one hand, the Rambam paskins like a Yosef, im olu lo yodu. On the other hand, he paskins that from the Gemara over here, it seems that also that's tied with the question of whether Me'ilah would apply to them when they were shechted in the south. And the Rambam paskins like our Mishnah that Me'ilah still applies to them, so that seems to be a contradiction. And in other places that Rambam paskins, like Rabbi Yehuda, that you don't have as many things that in Olu Yehudu. So the notes that Caleb and the Rambam have a bit of a time with it, because if Mishnah wants to say maybe the Rambam had a different Girsa in our Gemara, the Lechem Mishnah says there's other Sugyas, there's a couple of other Sugyas in Zvachim that contradict our Sugya, and so the Rambam held we should go according to those Sugyas and not this one. Yeah, complicated. Okay, anyway, let's continue. So the Gemara points out. So that's what I'm saying. The halacha in Tachlis is on the one hand the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef, is that im olu lo yodu. On the other hand, we still say that Me'ilah applies to them. On the other hand, we still say that Me'ilah applies to them even when they were shechted in the south. And on the other hand. Well, not only the Rosh Hashanah, but Me'ilah would still apply. Person used them, person had enough from them, he's going to be chayev keren v'chayim mishvashim. So, but yeah, how exactly to reconcile that to the Noita Kalim and the Rambam over there in Hilchot Tzvuah Mekdashim deal with it? Okay. So the Gemara says, v'hodi pligi bar Rabba v'Rab Yosef shitalei l'Rab Elazar. You should know, this topic that Rabba and Rab Yosef are arguing about, this question of when they were shechted in the south, im olu yodu or im olu lo yodu, Rav Elazar knows for a fact what the halacha would be like that. How do we know that? So Amar Rav Elazar, because Rav Elazar says a din like this. Oilas bomas yochid. Suppose you have an oila which you had designated to bring on a private bomber. We know at the end of Zvachim, in the last parak of Zvachim, the last two parakim, whatever, of Zvachim, it talks about there were certain periods in Jewish history when you were allowed to bring a korban on a private bomber in your backyard or whatever. During the time when the Mishkan was in Gilgal, which was 14 years after they entered Eretz Yisrael, later on after Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, the next 57 years after that, when the Mishkan was in Noiv and in Givon, then they were allowed to bring korbanos on private nevechos. Yeah. So suppose a person has an oila where he was makdashit intending to bring it on a bamas yochid, sheikh nisa lefnim, and then instead he brings it into the azara. Rashi over here explains, and also in Zvachim, explains that we're talking about that he brought it in while it's still alive. Or actually, no, I take that back, rather. Rashi over here just says that he brought it in, l'akriva b'mizbeach, which the Pashas implies that he's talking about it's still alive. Tosfos brings over here that Rashi in Zvachim says that we're talking about that, no, it's actually talking about that he shechted it by his bama and then brought the meat of it into the Azara. And the question is, what happens with it? Tosfos themselves disagree with that and say, like Rashi says over here, that we're talking about he brought it in while it's alive. And the question is, what are the dinim? Does it still have to be shechted in the north side like any other oila? Or do we say, since it only came from a bamas yachid, that since it was meant to be brought on a bamas yachid, maybe you should be allowed to shecht it on the south?
Answers want to, but he actually brought it in.
That's the question that you could argue. Since he meant to bring it on a bamas yachid, maybe therefore it doesn't have the full kedusha of an oila. Whereas again, Rashi and Zvachim would understand, we're talking about it was already shechted. The question is now what happens with the meat? If you brought it into the Azara, does it have the din of the meat of an Ola to the extent that you can't take it out of the Azara anymore?
Oh.
Yeah. So the din is, Chotuham Mechitzes L'chol Dover. The din is, the Mechitzes, the walls of the Azara, have now grabbed it for all purposes. It's as if it was originally meant to be brought on the Mizbeach in the Mishkan, and therefore it needs to be shechted on the north, and all the other usual rules apply to it. Okay, so Rav Elazar says that as a fact. But then, Rav Elazar asks a question regarding that. He's asking, now that he's saying, it's kosher to me the first thing, but now a related question that I'm wondering about. Oilas bomas yochid sheikh nisa shenipsala. Suppose he did bring it in, and then it became possible. So that this is the Rashi has this girsa over here, meaning in other words, the way we have it in front of us. Meaning, suppose that he took this animal that was meant to be brought on a bamas yachid, he brought it into the Azara. Again, Rashi is going according to what he said before, that he's talking about he's alive. that, that that's a lie. And then he did shecht it on the south side, which is wrong for an oila, right? So now the question is, if he had brought it on a bamas yochid, he would be allowed to shecht it wherever he wants. The whole concept of tzofon only applies in the up to the mizbeach in the mishkan or the beth mikdash. But here, he meant to bring it on a bamas yochid. In the end, he brought it to the mishkan, and then he shechted it on the south. So now the question, so it became possible by that. The question is, olu ma'u sheyodu. Now, if that was put on the mizbeach, do you take it down? Now, goes to Bach has a slightly different gerusa. Olu zeshenifsalava olu. Suppose that this olu became possible in some other way. And it could be by shechted on the south, could be whatever, and then he put it on the mizbeach, do you take it down? So, mid yukami boile lechoda mekwal de'idach. Given that he's only asking this one question about, given that he's only asking this one question about when it was meant to be not even brought on the mizbeach at all, that tells us. So therefore, obviously that means when it comes to the regular case where the person was makdish it, meaning to bring it on the mizbeach in the Beis Mikdash, then there's no question. Rav Elazar has no question that he'll hold either like Rav or like Rabbi Yosef, as the case may be, im olu yodu, im olu lo yodu. We don't know which one he would hold, fine, but we know that he would definitely hold by that. He's only asking about the case where it wasn't even meant to be brought on the mizbeach at all, where it was meant to be brought on bamas yochid. The fact that he has to ask the question only in that case shows that he didn't think that what Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef are discussing over here needs to be asked. He himself knew that it's kosher, that it's going to be either im olu yodu or im olu lo yodu. It's fine. He doesn't say which one he holds by, but obviously he would hold like one or the other of them.
Yeah, his question is only one part of
it. His question is only specifically in the case where it was meant to be on a bamas yochid, implying that he has no question. If a bamas yochid was never in the picture, if it was lachatchila meant to be brought on the mizbeach in the Beis Mikdash, then he would know for a fact what we would do with it if it was shechted in the south.
Either he would hold like Rabba
that he'm olu yodu, or he'd hold like Rabbi Yosef that he'm olu lo yodu. And that's why he's not bothering to ask the question on that scenario. He's only asking the question on the scenario where it was meant to be on a bomb. It's not a question. We're saying like this. Rav Elazar is only asking his question about the particular case where the korban was supposed to be brought on bamas yochid, and then instead of bringing it on the bamas yochid, he brought it to the azara and shechted it on the south side. And the question is, do we say him olu yodu or not? Implying that Rav Elazar knows as a fact what would happen if it wasn't meant to be on a bamas yochid in the first place. He would know that it's iluim olu yodu, im olu lo yodu, depending whether he holds like Rabba or like Rabbi Yosef. He only has the question when it was meant to be on a bum, when you have the extra winkle over there that it was meant to be on a bamas yochid.
Because
bamas yochid, you don't even need tzofen at all, so then the question is, right.
Right.
Okay, so the Gemara says not necessarily. Because you could say choder migoy choder kamei boyle. No, because you could say that actually, you could actually say that Rabbi Lozer's question is based on the question of Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. Maybe he doesn't know for a fact that the halacha is like one or the other of them. He says, do we say in that case? And if we say in that case, meaning ad kam like omer Rabba hasim in olu yerdu, you know why Rabba is saying over there that a korban that was shechted on the south side. No, forget about a bamas yochid. Rabba is talking about no bamas yochid. Rabba is just talking about a regular oilo or chasas that was shechted on the south side, which we said in our mission of Me'ilah still applies. And Rabba said, Rabba said him olu yodu. So maybe Rabba would only say that only mechitza ketikna posla, only because the proper mechitzas are passeling it, meaning it was meant to be brought in the mechitzas of the Azara. Therefore, when it's shechted in the wrong part of the Azara, then that passes it. Right. Shaloi ketikna loy posla. But you could argue that if it's not, then you could argue, therefore, you could argue maybe Rabba would say where it wasn't even meant to be in the mechitzas of the Azara in the first place. Maybe the fact that you brought it into the mechitzas of the Azara is enough, and it doesn't have to be in the correct part of the Azara. So maybe Rabba would agree over there that you would leave it on the mizbeach. and then Oidom Afilo Rav Yosef, or vice versa. We could say that maybe even Rav Yosef, Damim also loitered, Rav Yosef would say that if it was shechted on the south, you don't take it off from the back. But maybe the difference is Mechitza Ketikna Kolta, only because the Mechitzas were supposed to be proper for this korban, because this korban was meant to be brought in the Mechitzas of the Azara. Therefore, fine, as long as it's in the Mechitzas of the Azara, even if it's in the wrong place, fine, it has Kedusha to the extent that you leave it on the Mizbech. But Shaloi Ketikna, where the korban itself was not even meant to be in these mechitzas, because it was supposed to be an abomas yachid, maybe loy kolta, maybe you could argue that the mechitzas of the Azara are only kolot it, only grab it, only if it was in the right place in the Azara. So not necessarily does Rabbi Lazar know whether the halacha is like Rabba or Rabbi Yosef. He might be saying, even Rabba might agree that abomas yachid is different, and even Rabbi Yosef might say that abomas yachid is different. And the answer is we don't know which one it would be like. Which means, by the way, again, I mean, we said on Omer Aleph, we had a tshuvta against Rabbah, but now we're revisiting that. We're saying, based on what Rabbi Lazar is saying, that not necessarily the question may be still open. And this also has to do with the question, why did Amman Paskin the way he does, partly like Rabbi Yosef and partly not. It might be based on this, because the Gemara finished off the tshuvta before, but now we see that we're leaving it at teku. Again, because part of that is because we said their whole machlokas was with Reb Shimon, and generally the halacha is like Reb Yehuda, so that fact was in there also. Okay. New topic. Amr of Gidol Amarav. Zrikas pigul eni motzi midemi ila b'kodshe kodshe. Okay, so again, going back to our Mishnah, we said that we had various cases in our Mishnah where Me'ilah still continued to apply to Kodshei Kodshim. One of them we said was where it was Shechted Chutzlus Manei and Chutzlum Koimai, where he had in mind during the Shechita a thought of Chutzlus Manei, that he's going to eat the meat beyond the time that you're allowed to, or that he's going to eat or burn the korban outside of the Azara. Outside Yerushalayim, as the case may be. Well, outside the Azara, because we're talking about Kodshei Kodshim. So we said Me'ilah still applies to it. Even though the Zrika was done, Me'ilah still applies to it because the Zrika is not master of the korban to be eaten by the Kohen. So now, Rav Gidol Amar Rav is saying Zrikas Pigul, the sprinkling of the blood of a korban that is Pigul, Eine Motzi Midem Me'ilah V'Kodshei Kodshim, it does not take off the Me'ilah when it comes to Kodshei Kodshim. Again, because it's the pastor, because we're saying, because it's not master the meat to eat. So it's not important enough to take off Me'ilah. The Eine Navy, the Dei Me'ilah, the Kodshim Kalim. And vice versa, when it comes to Kodshim Kalim, as we said before, by Kodshim Kalim, as we said before, the Zrika causes that now Me'ilah starts on the Emurim. So he's saying, again, the same idea over here. This kind of zrika, because it's not kosher, because the korban is possible, because it's pigul, therefore it doesn't bring me'ila onto the emurim. By the way, as we go through the sugya, we're gonna discuss, there's machlokas, Rashi, and Tosfos on the question. We know that there are four avodas with the korban. And we know that, and we know that a machshava of pigul on any one of them, a machshava of pigul during one or another of them is enough to make korban pigul. Rashi over here learns that even, for example, the shchita was done with a thought of pigul, it would have to be that the zrika was also done with a thought of pigul in order to make a korban pigul. Rashi seems to learn that if the shchita was done with a thought of chutzlus manei, but later on the rest of the avodas were not, then the korban would not be pigul, it would only be posel. Tosfos disagrees with that, especially because we have various mishnayos in Zvachin that say not like that. They learn that no, once they learn that what it is the zrika is needed in order, before the zrika is done, it doesn't have the din of pigul in the sense that if the korban was shechted with a machshevet pigul, and then before the zrika, somebody ate from it, he wouldn't be chayev kares for eating pigul because the zrika hadn't been done yet. So you need the zrika to be kaveya, that is pigul. But even if the other three avodas were done without any wrong machshava at all, Tosfos learns it would still be pigul. Achronim say that maybe what Rashi means is, let's say, for example, it's fine, true, Rashi would agree that, let's say, the shchita was done with a thought of pigul, and the rest of them were done without any machshava at all, then yeah, of course, it would be pigul, fine. You have Mishnayos and Zvachim that say so. What Rashi means is, let's say, for example, he did the shchita with a thought of pigul, that he's going to eat the korban tomorrow, which for a chatas would be osur. Then, during the Kabbalah, he had in mind, actually, I'm going to eat it today, which is a proper machshava. And then later on, during the Zrika, so then Rashi would learn that if during the Zrika he doesn't think, again, piggle, then it wouldn't become piggle.
Oh, okay.
It's because he changed. It's because he changed his mind.
Because
by Kabbalah he changed, so therefore Rashi might learn that therefore he'd have to change back by Zrika, and then the fact that he thought that by Zrika and by Shchita together would make it piggle.
Even though he has a bad thought by Shchita, it can be fixed later on.
Not it could be fixed, but it would become possible rather than piggle, according to Rashi.
Oh.
It wouldn't be kosher. Forget about it. It's a goner from being kosher. But Rashi might learn, say these achronim, unless he had a thought of piggle again by Zrika, given that he had the right thought in between, by Kabbalah or by Halacha, then it wouldn't be piggle. It would only be kosher.
Piggle
means the person's chayav kares.
And also the Mylon.
No, Me'ilah we're not even getting into. Forget about Me'ilah for the moment. We're
if you
No, either way, whether the korban is posel or whether it's pigul, as we said in our Mishnah, the Zrika is not taking away Me'ilah. So Rav Gidl is telling us that if you have a korban that is pigul, then when you do the Zrika of that korban, it doesn't take away Me'ilah. So again, Rashi would learn what we mean is Zrika's pigul would mean even though he had a thought of, he had a thought of pigul during the Zrika. And according to Tosfos, it would mean as long as there was a thought of pigul someplace earlier at one of the other avodas, even though the
you also say the kind of pigul, even if a mountain to Mashov is not. You understand what I'm going to ask? And what is the deal from Zrika itself? Not to make him a Koimoi, and a Mizmano.
So if he.
It's
the same thing as the other Avodas. Yes, if he had no Machshava, if he had no Machshava during the first three. No, one time. What it is like this. Rashi is saying. On the surface, Rashi is saying that if a person had a machshavas pigul during shchita, it's not enough to make it pigul unless he also has that machshava by zrika. So achronim say that's only. Same thing. Pigul means manos. Pigul means chutz manos. Mean that he's doing the zrika and he's having in mind that he's going to eat the meat of the korban tomorrow. Chutz mkoma is possible, not pigul. So Rav Gidl was saying that again, that the Zrika Saddam of a korban that is pigul doesn't, if it's kodshim kodshim, it doesn't take away Me'ilah, and if it's kodshim kalam, it doesn't cause Me'ilah to be chal. So Yosef Abaya v'ka'amal ala hoshmaita, Abaya was sitting and saying over the statement of Rav Gidl, Eisle Rav Papa l'Abaya. So Rav Papa says, Abaya, I have a contradiction. A Mishnah says in Menachos, person shechts a korban toida inside the azara where it's supposed to be, the lachma chutz lachoima, but the bread, the 40 loaves of bread that go with the toida are outside the wall. You actually have a machlokes in Menachos over there between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish. What does it mean outside the wall? Does it mean outside the wall of the azara, or does it mean outside the wall of Beis Pagi? And then in turn, you have a machlokes showing him what Beis Pagi is. Is it an area near the Azara? Is it an area right outside Yerushalayim? Whatever it is, anyway. So if the bread was outside where it's supposed to be, the din is loy kodesh as alechem. So the Mishnah says the bread does not become kodesh because it has to be in the proper place when the korban is being shechted. Also, shechtad shalei korma paner batanur. Also, if he shechted the korban, the toda, before the loaves formed a crust in the oven, so while they're still doughy,
also, they have to be done together.
They have to be done. They have to be that the loaves are baked at least to the extent they have a crust. In general, in halacha, bread is not considered bread until it starts forming a crust. This comes up in a number of areas in halacha. For example, as far as matzah. In principle, once matzah has started forming a crust, then you're able to be used to the mitzvah of matzah with it, even though it's still doughy on the inside. The same thing, for example, let's say as far as lechem mishnah on Shabbos, it has to have, there are a few places, So, I don't know what the word for crust is in Yiddish, but the mebak brot, the ven to hate don, veren hart, in Dresden, ven to hate the chon, as to ver gebacken in Dresden, af in ponim, yemel taste this as a gebacken. So like this, he shechted the korban toga, and the bread was not yet started forming a crust, it wasn't yet baked. or even if 39 of them have formed a crust and one of them is not, so the din is loy kodesh alechem. Again, the bread does not have kedusha. He's going to have to bring other bread. Well, he's going to have to bring another toda. He's going to have to bring another toda, another bread with it, because there has to be bread available when the bread has to be ready. Yeah, it has to be ready.
Because other kinds of could be
sometimes. That's as far as nesachim. That's as far as nesachim. But here, the bread only gets kedusha when the korban is shechted.
It changes
base. Yeah, it became not color necessarily, but it became hard. It started becoming hard.
Crust means that if you touch it, it's very little, a little hard.
Yeah.
Crust. Okay. And then the chal in the vinegar is weich. Crust is a bit closer.
Continues the Mishnah. Shach the chutzlus mana v'chutzlum kaima. If he shechted the toda with a thought of chutzlus mana or chutzlum kaima, the din is kodesh halachem. The bread does become kodesh. Now, obviously, the korban itself is possible, but the bread has kedusha to the extent, for example, that me'ila would apply to it. So now the question is, so alma pigul maisi lo lede me'ila. So we see from that that pigul is able to make something be chayiv in me'ila. That me'ila should be relevant to it. So in other words, because that's what we're saying over here, the korban itself is pigul, but we're saying that the shchita of it is able to make the bread be subject to me'ila. So not like you're saying that zrika pigul does not bring to me'ila by kodeshim kalim. Tosfos actually asks the question the bread b'chal, toda is not the bread of a toda, me'ila does not apply to it. We know the general rule by kodeshim kalim, me'ila only applies to the emurim, which are burnt on the mizbeach. The lachmei toda are burnt on the mizbeach.
Yeah.
So four of them go to the kohenim and the rest go to the onim. So first Tosfos wants to say maybe we're talking about the four that are given to the kohenim. Tosfos doesn't like that. So Tosfos just says, okay, but what we mean is, in other words, that when we say that kodesh alechem, what we mean is, in other words, they're able to become possible in the sense that they're being brought to me'ila. Me'ila itself doesn't apply to them because they're not kodesh Hashem. But the point is, in other words, we see that the shchita of the korban is able to create a status of me'ila. So therefore, so the same thing, zrika of pigul should also be able to create a status of me'ila.
You're saying that there's no
meal
on bread. How could
on the car? No, so, right. So what Tosfos means is possible. He means, in other words, that they're able to become possible in the sense that something of the korban is able to have me'ila applied to it. Not the bread per se, but the emorim. Okay. So that's the question, therefore. So what do you mean that zrika of pigul doesn't allow for me'ila to be chal? We see from that Mishnah it is. So Abaye was quiet, he couldn't think of an answer. Also, when he came to Rav Abba, Rashi explains it means Abaye himself came to Rav Abba to ask. He said, "My Talmud had a question. I couldn't figure it out, so maybe you can help me." My Talmud, Rav Papa was Abaye's Talmud. Mm-hmm. So in other words, it shows that Abaye wasn't too proud to go to somebody else and say, "You know, my Talmud asked me an eyes in Akasha that I don't have an answer to. So can you help me?" Other Mephoshim say though it means that Rav Papa went to Rav Abba. Anyway, Amalei Bizrika. So Rav Abba answers him, we're talking about zrika. Now, what do we mean by zrika? What does that answer mean? Rashi explains. So again, Rashi, following his shitta, holds that the reason why me'ila doesn't apply in that case is because he didn't have any machshava during the zrika. So therefore, in order for it to become pigul, again, you have to have not only a machshava of pigul by the shitta, but also a machshava of pigul by the zrika, and here he didn't. So therefore it's not really pigul. Therefore the lechem becomes kodesh, and therefore me'ila is able to apply. Rav Gidol would be talking about Rav Gidol when he says that it can't bring to me'ila. It's talking about where it's real pigul, where the zrika itself is done with a thought of pigul. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos would understand. Tosfos following their shitta that if able to be pigul with just the machshava by shchita and not without needing anything by zrika, they would say the answer to zrika means it takes the zrika in order to make it that now it's officially pigul. Before the zrika is done, the ifter of pigul doesn't apply to it yet. Before that, it's right. To make it pigul, you need the zrika. Before that, the din of pigul is not chal, even though the right.
Before you mentioned that if let's say he was shechted with a sort of pigul and someone would eat it,
then he wouldn't be chayav kodesh until the zrika was done. That's the point. According to Tosfos, that's what the answer of the Zrika means. That only when the Zrika is done does it make it that now it's called Nikba the Pigul. That now it's established that this Korban is Pigul. Up until that point, you had it going to be Pigul because the Shechita was done with a thought of man, but it's not yet Pigul until the Zrika is done.
You have two things. One, the Korban is not a Korban. The second is Pigul.
Right. Okay. So that answers the theory, right? Omelet of Ashi the Rava, the Oma Ula, but what about, didn't Ula say a din, Koimetz Pigul Shehelo the Gabba Mizbeach, a Koimetz of a Mincha, which was Pigul, which during the Knitzel, let's say he had a thought of Pigul, and he brought up that Koimetz onto the Mizbeach, so the din is, Kivet Jo Poka Pigulim Imenu. The din is, once the fire starts burning it, then the issue of Pigul goes away, in the sense that now if it fell off the Mizbeach, then you put it back onto the Mizbeach. Well, meaning in other words, that the issue of Pigul goes away.
Because
it's sort of being burned, right. Now we know you have four avodas in a korban, in an animal korban, and corresponding to those you have four avodas in a mincha. The knitza of a mincha corresponds to the shchita of an animal. So therefore, just like by a mincha we're saying that it's possible for it to be pigul at the time of knitza, because that's what kremis pigul means, but the same thing by an animal should be enough to have a thought of pigul during the shchita. And that would be enough. What do you mean? What do you mean that you need the zrita in order to make it pigul? Amalei, so Rava answers him. He's sort of the maisi de pigul. We don't mean it's actually pigul yet. We mean that the kmitza itself wouldn't be enough to make it pigul. It means it's going to be pigul. Again, according to Rashi, meaning that you still need a machsheves zman by the haktara, by the burning it on the mizbeach, which corresponds to the zrika, in order to make it actual pigul, real pigul. And according to Tosfos, it means even if you didn't have the machshava, just the fact that you did the haktara on the mizbeach now makes it that it was hanging in the air, that it was going to be pigul from the knitza, now it officially becomes pigul. So that's the point. No, you still need that. Okay, so the question is, v'hokatoni, but what do you mean? You have a braisa on that, a braisa regarding that case. Katoni actually means, on the face of it, means braisa, although it seems that here we're talking about a statement of Ula, so the Lashon Katoni is a little bit unusual. But anyway, he says, im acherim may be the de pigul. That's the reason why this din applies is because if the koimetz is able to make other things being pigul, meaning, in other words, that the when you do the kmitza itself, if you have a thought of, if you have a machsheves man, that makes the entire mincha pigul. How much more so that it can make itself pigul. Rashi brings from the Gemara in Zvachim, what it means is, in other words, that we're saying actually kind of the other way around. We're saying once you put it on the Mizbeach, the issue of pigul goes away, so how would it be able to cause that the rest of the mincha would be now chai, it would be subject to ne'ilah? So it has to be that the issue of pigul goes away, and only because of that does now ne'ilah kick in with the shirayim. If, in other words, what the Gemara is explaining, if the koimetz itself stayed pigul, then the shirayim wouldn't be chai in ne'ilah. Only when the issue of pigul goes away from it, only then, because the mizbeach is burning it, only then does me'ila now apply to the shirayim.
Because it's burnt, that part was taken care of.
So now, once it started being burnt, which corresponds to the zrika, no, the burning on the mizbeach corresponds to zrika. So then we say the issue of pigul now goes away from it. So now only when the issue of pigul goes away from it, are the shirayim able to now be subject to Mila. Meaning, because the kmitza was done with the thought of pigul. That itself made the korban possible already. But we're saying, in other words, that just the thought on the kremis itself is enough to make it pigul. So by the same logic, a machshava of shchita alone should be enough. So, and again, we said that in the Mishnah that we quoted before about the lach me toda, we said once the korban was shechted, then it was a sort of pickle, then the bread still becomes kodesh. So you don't need the zrika. So what is your Vigil Amarav telling us that the zrika does not take away Me'ilah, that does not bring Me'ilah onto the cotton to kodeshim column? You see, Me'ilah already started applying before that. The answer is Honami sort of demise through the day tickle. The answer is the same thing over here. We would answer that it doesn't mean that it's actually tickle yet, we just mean that it's going to become tickle. It's on the way to becoming tickle once the zrika, or in the case of a mincha, the haktara, is done. Okay. I have another question about all this though. We have a machloikus, the machloikus panoim in Zvachim. We have like this. The Chachamim say the general rule, in order for a korban to be pigle, it has to be that there was no other thought of psul in it. So for example, the Chachamim would say that if you had a korban where, let's say, he did the shchita with a machsheves zman, which would make it pigle, but then he did one of the other avodas with a machsheves makim, which would make it psul, then the Chachamim would say he had in mind to eat it outside the azara, let's say. So then the din is it wouldn't be pigle. In order for it to be pigle, it has to be that the only machshava was exclusively machshavas zman. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees over there and says it depends which one came first. If you had the machshavas zman comes first, so let's say during the shchita he had a machshavas zman and later on he had a machshavas makim, then it would still be pigle, because the fact that it started becoming pigle already, it continues that way. The fact that he had a different machshava doesn't take that away. So within that, you have machlokas amiroyim. What exactly is the argument between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda? So Ilfa said, well, I'm an Ilfa. So Ilfa explains, so machlokas Ilfa and Rabbi Yechon over there. Machlokas b'shtei avodin. Ilfa says, the whole machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim would be if the two machshavos were doing different avodas. He's going to Omer. So in other words, So for example, if he had a machsheves zman, if he had a machsheves chutz zman during the shchita, and he had a machlokes, and then he had a machsheves mokim during the kabbalah, that's when Rabbi Yehuda would say too late. By this, the fact that he had the machshava of zman during zrika makes that it's already kigul, and a different machshava can't take that away during a different avodah, says Ilfa. But if it was all in one avodah, because going to Omer Hareini shochet simin rishon chutz zman the simin sheni chutz shtei avodas doesn't mean two different avodas, as in shchita and kabbalah. It means two different parts of the same avodah. Two different parts of the shchita. Rashi explains over here. You have a concept called yeshna the shchita mitchila v'adsoif. That the entire we don't say the shchita only takes effect at the moment when he cut through roiv of the second pipe. We say the entire process of shchita is considered part of the shchita. So therefore, shechting the two simonim can be called two avodas, and we're able to nickname it two avodas. So when he has in mind doing two parts of the avodah, because when the Omer, I mean, shechet simon rishon chutz manoi, the simon sheni chutz makomei. So for example, he has a thought of chutz manoi while he's shechting the first simon, and then he has machshava of chutz makomei on the second simon. That is when Rabbi Yehuda would say that too late. Once he already started the shchita with machshavas man, I don't care what other machshava he had during the rest of the shchita, and the Chacham would say we do care. But let's say he had the two machshavas during one simon. He did half the simon with chutzas mana and half with chutzas makayim. Says Ilfa, the kolay alma iruvei machshavas haboi. Everybody would agree that that's considered a blending of machshavas, and therefore it's only possible and it's not pigle. Possible, not pigle. So the question is therefore that. The question is now. So both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim seem to be agreeing that a machshava during. Well, one second. So now it seems that both agreeing that a machshava during shchita is enough, because they're talking about the machshava was during the whole shchita, during half of shchita, whatever, and they're arguing is it considered possible or pigle. But the basic idea, if he had had a machshavas zman during the whole shchita, they would both agree it's definitely pigle. So how does that fit with what Rav Abba is saying, that you need the zrika in order to make it pigle? The answer is hochinami l'chi zorik, the same answer as before. When he sprinkles the blood later on, kigali milsa, then it makes a gili milsa, then it reveals what was the story before. Then we see iba avoida achas iba shtei avoida. Then we see what happened previously during the shchita. Was there a different machshava during one part of the avoida or during two parts of the avoida? you would still need the zrika in order to make it pickle. Again, according to Rashi, there would have to be also a machshava of zman doing the zrika in order to make it pickle. And according to Tosfos, that's not necessary, but the fact is the zrika itself has to take place. Until the zrika takes place, it's not nikva b'pigul.
It kicks in.
The issue of pigul and the koris, the pigul only kicks in once there.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So the question is, yihochi gabi toda nami. So in that case, we could say the same thing also. So what do you mean then? By the toda also. So why? So by the toda also, it's not a matter of just the shechita. It's a matter also ad dezorit. It would have to be until he sprinkles the blood. By the same logic, you would have to say that until then, it's not pigul. So why was the Mishnah before saying that once you shecht it, chutz mana, then kodesh alechem? And the answer is, like we said before, my kodesh lipasol devoy tzreifa. We don't mean it's kodesh to the extent that pigul applies. We just mean it's kodesh to the extent that now it has kedushas aguf, and now it has to be burnt. It's not like cholin anymore. And as far as me'ila, you would have had to have zrika, and since the korban was already pigul, already began becoming pigul during the shechita, then, like Rav Gidol says, the zrika does not cause me'ila to be chal on it. And because it's pigle. Because the continuation, and then it's pigle, right? Yeah.
Unless it's pigle, then it cannot be...
Then it can't be not pigle anymore, so therefore it's either going to be pigle or it's going to be possible. But either way, so what we're saying is, if the shechita was done with a thought of pigle, let's say the zrika had not been done yet, me'ila wouldn't apply. We don't mean the bread would be kodesh as far as me'ila. We just mean it would be kodesh as far as that you have to burn it, because that's kodesh as a goof now. When does it become actual pigle? Would be only at the time of the zrika. Okay, the Gemara is fine. Lema Messiah, can we say that we can prove Rav Gidol's point from the following brisa? A brisa says that pigul or la meilin boy, that meila always applies to pigul. Meaning lav afagav de izrik dam. On the face of it, what we mean is even if the blood was sprinkled with the thought of pigul, or according to Tosfos without the thought, or whatever, the point is that it was nikva as pigul, and we're saying even then me'ila applies, or messiah, and in that case that's a proof to what Rav Gidol is saying. Even though the zrika was done, because this korban is pigul, the zrika does not take away the chiyuv of me'ila on the meat of this kodshim, it still applies. Well, there you go. That's what Rav Gidol was saying. Rav Gidol was saying that if you have, let's say, a chatas, normally we would say once the zrika of the chatas is done, then the meat is mutter the kodshim, and therefore me'ila no longer applies to it. But now, but Rav Gidol was saying that if the kodshim was pigul, then the zrika does not have that effect. And the Braisa seems to be saying exactly that. That me'ila always applies to pigul. The pashtus always means always, even after the zrika. The answer is one. The lois darach adam. Not necessarily. It could be it's talking about that ne'ilah would apply until the zrika. Maybe after the zrika, then ne'ilah would go away, which would not be like Rav Gidol. So the question is, either lois darach adam, my memra. If you didn't do zrika, then what's the chiddush? Of course, ne'ilah still applies there. Even if it was a kosher korban, ne'ilah would still apply until the zrika. Ela la'olam dezorik. So no, the answer is we are talking about actually that the blood was sprinkled. But that braisa is not necessarily talking about a chatas. That braisa is talking about an oila. And oila, the whole thing is burnt on a mizbeach. So there's nothing of it. It's mutter to the kohen, except for the skin. So therefore, you could say in that case, therefore, that's what the braisa is telling us, that you should know, even after the zrika, the oila still applies to it, because the meat of it is not meant to be eaten. But in lav davka, we're talking about a chatas. So the braisa is not necessarily a proof to Rav Gidol, because Rav Gidol would be talking about, let's say, a chatas, that even though usually the zrika would take away the iser on the meat, and therefore it takes away the me'ila on the meat, but because it was pigul or not, the braisa would be telling us, okay, the braisa would be telling us, you should know, with an oila, the zrika in general, with an oila specifically, because it's pigul, therefore the zrika doesn't accomplish anything, and therefore me'ila still applies. Lav davka would be talking about a chatas. If it's an oila, then it's poshut. Obviously, me'ila still applies to gabayahi. The whole thing belongs to Hashem. The whole thing is burnt on a mizbeach. So obviously, the me'ila would still apply. The gabayahi kula. The whole thing belongs to the mizbeach. But oid, and besides that, also, we can prove from this braisa that it's not talking about an oila, that it's talking about a chatas. The the Kaponi Sefer, the Braisa continues, one Dhamma, if the blood of the korban was left overnight, where it became fossil, Afa Pisha Chaz of the Zerka, even though he sprinkled it afterwards, Moilin Bo, so then Me'ila would still apply to it, even because the blood was left over, then, and therefore it was fossil.